I am the absolute philosopher and have absolute faith. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, here in Campo, California, with Absolute Philosopher. I am the absolute philosopher and have absolute faith. What does it mean to be an absolute philosopher? Well, an absolute philosopher is one who philosophizes on absolute, who philosophizes on the concept of absolute. And if we want to make it into something we can understand, we can say absolute is as God, only it is greater. And you say, how can something be greater than God? Well, every concept that mankind has of God is a limited concept. It is God as a judgmental God. It is God as a guiding God. It is God as a giving or non-giving God. It is God as a God that thinks things for us, that possesses us, a God that limits us in many ways. Well, that kind of God that doesn't turn me on, and I know it doesn't turn on anyone who thinks about it. Absolute is the existence that is all in its ideal way. And this is how I look at it when we read the first chapter of Genesis, and it says, God created all things and called them good and very good. If God created all things and called them good and very good, God could not go contrary to that creation. And this is where absolute comes in. Absolute comes in where it has no relativistic attitude about it. It has no feeling about it that there is a good or a bad, and there is a right and a wrong. There is only the is. Now you say, that's a sort of a an easy out for humanity to say there's only an is, and there's no right and wrong, and they can do anything they please, and so forth. And that's not true. That's not true. We cannot do anything we want. However, we do anything we want, because the only things that we want are the things that are for our highest and best. The only things that we want in the human range are things that are beneficial for us, beneficial for our creation, and beneficial for however we may wish to look at it. Now, can you find fault with that? I find it very difficult to find fault with that. In fact, I find it impossible to find fault with that, because that is the ideal. And if we live in the ideal, as an absolute philosopher, I live in the ideal because I am the ideal. Hey, I live in the ideal because I am the ideal. Isn't that a nice concept? I live in the ideal because I am the ideal. Now, and have absolute faith. Now, what does it mean to have absolute faith? Faith, of course, is a human phrase. It's a human word. When you look at an is, and faith is not going to make an is more of an is than it is, nor will it make it less of an is than it is. Faith has nothing to do with it from the point of view of to be. You see, the faith that we're talking about here is the faith that recognizes that it is. I do not want something to happen. I know it is already complete. I do not want something to be. It is already established. It is up to me as an absolute observer to recognize that all exists. Now, when you recognize that all exists, and you go through the plethora of ideas of what is right and what is wrong, and what is up and what is down, and what is in and what is out, and just releasing those things that are of no consequence to you, and you understood that word, things that are of no consequence to you, because they are not what you would like to demonstrate in your life. When you release those things, what happens? What happens when you release those things is that you are putting your attention on those things that you desire to have happen in your life, that you desire to experience and know, the things that you desire to make yours, that are important for you, that are your reality, that are your absolute self. Now, That seems like it's sort of begging the question just a little bit. And perhaps, in a manner of speaking, it is. I am the absolute philosopher and have absolute faith. And I could rephrase that and say, I am the allness philosopher, I am the isness philosopher, and I have absolute awareness that all already exists. Now, hey, isn't that an interesting term for faith? Awareness. Have faith that it will work. Have awareness that it'll work. Doesn't that put it into a totally different photograph? A totally different picture. When you have faith, you oftentimes wish, want, hope that something will be. When you have the awareness that it is, there is no wishing, there's no wanting, there's no hoping, there's no expectation. It's merely an awareness that it is there. Now, a little child is born, and the little child is a delightful thing. And it is expressing itself in many different ways. And one of the ways that it expresses itself is becoming aware of who it is. It likes to suck on its fingers. It likes to suck on its toes. It likes to feel itself. It likes to know that it has a body. It likes to know that it exists. It likes to know that it has reality. It has physical contact with itself. It likes to know that. Well, other things it likes to know. When you walk into the room and the baby is playing, the baby is unaware of your presence until you make yourself known. The baby is so absolutely, nice word, so absolutely content in itself, it doesn't know you exist. It looks around you. In fact, in the beginning stages, it cannot focus its eyes to know that you're even there. Oh, yes, it sees light, and it may see movement, but it doesn't know you're there. It doesn't know. Why wouldn't it sense your presence, your loving presence when you come in and you are smiling and giggling and your heart is filled with joy with this new life that you have brought into the world and that you are going to live your life with now for all these 18, 20 years and have a wonderful time together? Why doesn't it feel that? Because it is absolutely one-pointed upon itself. Now, as the child grows, we continually encourage it to be aware of us. We continually encourage it to be aware of other things. We tell it that the movement of the food through its body is caca, it's dirty, it's bad. We tell it that to touch any part of its body is bad and other parts are good. It can touch its face and that's good. It can touch its genitals and that's bad. We establish all of these things early in the life of a child. And we look at it and we interpret the child thinking thoughts that we have as adults and as mature people that it hasn't even got. It has no essential sexuality. It has no essential physical right or wrong about its toes or its nose or stuck in its tongue. It's becoming aware of itself. And we interpret it. And our interpretation is given to that child, and that child grows up with our interpretation. As you know, many people say, as the twig is bent, so does it grow. Now, how about as the mind is bent, so does it grow. But let's know that every child born on the face of the earth is born into the awareness of its awareness. Every child born in our universe, in our awareness, is living in its ideal spirit, mind, and body. Every child born in our awareness, that comes into our awareness. Ellen, my associate, likes to go around saying, oh, that baby, so beautiful, it's a genius, because she knows that naming and claiming is a very powerful thing. Now, that's something parents readily accept. Oh, my child's a genius. But why don't you go to the child and to the parent and say, oh, Every organ, action, function of your body is whole and perfect. You're living in your ideal spiritually illumined body. Spirit, mind, and body. You live in your ideal spirit, mind, and body. You live in your ideal spirit. Oh, what a lovely little creature living in your ideal spirit, mind, and body. All is in divine order, little child. All is in divine order, you wonderful being. All is in divine order, you fantastic master. And, you know, the parents would say, what is that idiot saying? What is that idiot saying? They're saying things that just aren't so, like, this baby is just growing. And we have certain things in our genes that will show up later on. And no, no, no. That baby is unto itself. Absolutely perfect. Those genes may be there, and they don't have to express. And those genes may be there for beneficial things, and they do express. I am the absolute philosopher. I cannot do it any differently. And I have absolute faith. I have absolute understanding. And as I look at the world about me, I see it as a reflection of my thought, of my attitude, of my way of thinking, of my way of being. The next time you look at a little baby, think to yourself, there is an awareness. There is a gentleness. There is a completeness living in its ideal spirit, mind, and body. Think of every little child you ever see. Say, that little child is living in its ideal spirit, mind, and body. All is in divine order for that child. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. You're living in your ideal spirit, mind, and body. All is in divine order. Hey, why wait for doing it when you see a little child? You may not see a little child right away. Why not do it for yourself? Why not say right now, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. All is in divine order. Herb, those are phrases you all die. Yes, I do. I use these phrases all the time because they are so simple. They are so simple. The phrases of the Quran, the phrases of the Bible, the phrases of all of the great books, the Bhagavad Gita, all of the books that have come down that are the religious symbols for organizations and for religions and for philosophy, they all say the same thing. Man, know thyself. They all say the same thing. They want to direct us to that inner self, to that inner philosopher, to that inner absolute awareness. They want to direct us there, and they want us to enjoy it and feel fantastic in it and love it, love it, love it. And they want us to be as a little child, to enter into that kingdom of awareness of who and what we are. Isn't life wonderful? And it's up to us. It's up to us to enjoy it now or not. That's our privilege. That's our gift. That's our glory. That's our reality. I love you. Have a wonderful day. This is the Absolute Philosopher. I love you. I love you. I love you.